Amen. Excuse me. We're going to do a little something different this morning. I'm not going to be in Romans this morning. I'm going to do a topical message, basically. And as I went through the book of Acts last year, and took the whole year to get through that, as I was coming to a close in the book of Acts, more and more, the Lord was starting to really give me vision for this year and a calling for all of us as a body here at Calvary Chapel of Henderson. And he was really putting some things in my heart. And of course it says in Proverbs 29 verse 18, it says, where there is no revelation or where there is no vision, it says that the people cast off restraint. And in one translation it says the people perish. But happy is he who keeps the law. Happy is he who keeps the law. And so today, I'm going to be going over, I believe, what the Lord really truthfully is put on my heart as a vision for the calling for us this upcoming year especially. And so go ahead and open up, before we get started and everything else, to Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. Proverbs 11, verse 30. Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls. He who is wise wins souls. As I was going and closing up the book of Acts, as I see from the very beginning all the way through, as you see the church being birthed, the first century church, and Peter and Paul and all of the disciples that were testifying of the Lord Jesus and going out and spreading the gospel message. It just came upon my heart that more and more we need to be able to start seeing the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of what we're learning, the fruit of being able to be fed the Word of God week by week. And then I want us to be wise. We want to be wise. And it says, he who is wise wins souls. And so in a sense, what we're referring to here is what is commonly called evangelism. And it can be apparent. What is evangelism, basically? Well, it can be an apparent attempt to teach others about Jesus and about salvation. But it can also be a whole lifestyle for a lot of people. Living our life simply and in order to draw others to the light of God, to the light of Jesus. See, Israel was established as a nation to be a blessing, and to be a light to the nations around about them. It was established to draw people to God through their example. So as our lives are that example a lot of the times. So likewise, we, just as Israel, we are called to be salt and light to the world around us today. Drawing people to the Lord, one, by our example, as well as some other ways that we'll be talking about toward the end of the service today. So at the core of Christianity is the faith and the belief in the good news. That's really it, that our faith and our belief in the gospel message, the good news. And it's epitomized in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. See, that's the good news. That's the greatest news, and it's right there. So as Christians, I believe we should be proud and eager to share how the Lord has changed our lives. Because when you receive Jesus, it's not you just continue life as status quo. There should be a change. The Holy Spirit comes in and starts to minister to us in ways, and as we hear the scriptures and as we get taught the Word of God and as we study the Word of God, changes should start taking place in our lives. And so one way to explain the good news, of course, of the gospel of Christ is stated clearly by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 10. And go ahead and look and see what it says there in Romans 10. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There's something to do with the confessing with our mouth. There's something about acknowledging that you've received Jesus that helps to kind of set that change in order. It starts to allow us to be able to sense that and know, okay, I've said that. Now I need to start doing what it says. The last couple of weeks on Wednesday night as well as Sunday, it's like the Lord's just really been taking us to this being a doer of the word and not a hearer only. So the word evangelism, though, often evokes fear, as Christians know that they're supposed to be sharing. They're supposed to be sharing the gospel, the good news to others, and yet oftentimes we just don't know how. We're not really sure how to share it. We're not sure if we know enough scriptures. We're not sure if we can answer some of their questions and things. And then there's also been the troubling issue around the world of proselytizing or trying to force people to follow a certain religion, and that's always met with resistance, especially when you're trying to bring people to a religion and not a relationship with Jesus Christ. See, when you're able to share what Jesus has done for you, it's not about religion anymore. It's not about, oh, do this or do that. It's about, this is what God has done for me, and he can do it for you in that same way. And so that can meet resistance as well. The Apostle Peter, you know, gives us clear direction on how to evangelize appropriately. And we see that in 1 Peter 3:15. He exhorts us there, but sanctify or set apart. The word sanctify means set apart. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense for everyone, always and everyone, who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. See, when that change starts to take place in your life, when you start to be able to go through the hard times and still have peace, people want to know, well, how can you do that? And so when it says here, always give a defense to everyone who asks for a reason for the hope that is within you. See, as believers, we have hope that the world doesn't have. The world, they don't have any future. To the world, before they know Jesus, it's like that old song, is this all there is? No, there's all, forever, eternity. And so always be ready to give a reason for the hope that is within you. So we should always do that. We should always be able to speak up for the faith that's within us. But we need to do this, as Peter says, in a loving and caring way. So in other words, a lot of times I've seen people in the past that they believe they have the gift of evangelism. And man, they're all excited and everything, and they'll get on the elevator and they'll be going from the first to the second floor. And the only thing that they'll say to people is, hey, you're going to go to hell without Jesus. Well, that's not very loving and not much caring in that. It doesn't usually have an effect on people. Hardly ever. We need to be able to share the gospel in a loving and a caring way. Giving them an answer, giving them the reason for the hope that's within us because of what Jesus has done for us. So the word evangelist is only used a couple of times in the Bible, but the concept is reiterated multiple times throughout the whole Bible. One of the passages we see is in Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. And in Ephesians 4:11 it says, and he himself gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So there are these different callings on different people in the body of Christ, and there's some that are gifted for evangelism, and you see them bringing many, many people. You know, a lot of times when you think about, bringing people to the Lord, we can either do it with a fishing pole or we can use a fishing net. And a person with a gift of evangelism, they use the net. You know, they're able to go on and proclaim the gospel to multitudes at one time, whether it be through TV or radio or whatever their ministries are, and they're able to draw in a lot at one time. But yet, as each of us as an individual, we still have the ability to evangelize by what God's done in our lives. And so he says he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And so what's the purpose of that? Well, verse 12 shows us that the purpose is for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. See, it's for the work of the ministry. And see, all of you are the ministers. See, pastors are just the administrators. The church, the body of Christ, you're the ministers. You're the ones that are out there day to day and living the life and out and in touch with people all around. And so it edifies the body of Christ, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So these gifts of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, we're here to equip all of you. And so that's why today, I believe, is from the Lord, is he wants to use this to equip you, to fulfill your calling. See, God clarifies that all of us have been given various gifts, and they're all to be used for his kingdom work. That's why the gifts are for his glory and for the edification of others. And some of us have been called specifically to be evangelists. Like I said earlier, they use the big fishing nets to be able to reach out and everything. So I want to go through some more verses that are in the Bible. We won't turn there. I'll put them on the screen just for a lack of time. But if you have anything to write them down, you can write them down in your notes and kind of keep track of them that way. You know. But the first one I want to look at is in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 6:8 says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I. Send me.'" So when we think about evangelism, most of the time we think about it mostly concerning the New Testament, but and more than we would in the Old Testament. We think, oh, evangelism is all in the New Testament, Book of Acts, and on and on and on. But we see, obviously, the Lord has been calling people to share his love and his faithfulness throughout all of the ages. He's been calling them to do that all through the old, all the way through to the new. See, God, again, he established the nation of Israel as a beacon of hope. A beacon of hope to the world at a time when many people were lost in sin and darkness. I think we can relate to that in our world today. To see what's going on in our world, to see what's going on in our nation, to see where how far we've gotten away from God, how far we've gotten away from the morals and the biblical principles of Christianity in our nation. So accepted are all of these things that we know the Bible talks of against as being bad for the people, being wrong for them. It's leading them down to a path of destruction. And we have an answer to be able to be that beacon of hope to them. Because just as in the Old Testament, the people, there was so much sin in the world. So same with today. At that time, death and destruction seemed to be reigning all around, but God brought light and possibility to all. Death and destruction all around. The news, I think in the last 2 days, something like 5 people have been murdered. Death and destructions all around. We're running out of time. It's getting to a point where we have to start speaking up about the light and the truth and the love of Jesus. See, in Isaiah, the Lord asked the question that he always asks his children down through the ages, who will go? Who will share about the message of hope? And thankfully, at that time, Isaiah replied, "Here am I. Send me." And this is a poignant question. I think it still resonates with all of us today. I think it still is there for all of us. And hopefully, each of us will answer it just like the prophet did. Each of us will answer that call just even as Isaiah did. And next I want to look, just think back at Proverbs 11:30 that we opened with. Proverbs 11, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life. And he who wins souls is wise. He who wins souls is wise. See, the book of Proverbs is characterized by many, many words of wisdom. It's a book of wisdom. It's a book of encouragement and discernment. It was written, of course, by King Solomon after he was given the gift of wisdom directly from the Lord. God said, what do you want? And he asked, I want wisdom to be able to rule your people, your nations. And he gave him more wisdom than any other man other than Jesus, of course. Throughout the book in Proverbs, you can read about the differences between being wise and acting foolishly. Nobody really wants to be looked at as a fool, do they? Nobody wants their actions to be considered foolish. And so Solomon compares and contrasts the wisdom and foolishness to one another over and over again throughout the book of Proverbs, as he encourages us to choose wisely. It's our choice. Are we going to be wise or are we going to be foolish? It says here, he who wins souls is wise. Among the hundreds of wise sayings and proverbs found in this book, as we read this verse, it highlights the fact that being obedient or righteous will bring forth good fruit, and that it will actually become a tree of life. See, in and of ourselves, we have no good righteousness. We don't have that right standing on our own before the Father. But thankfully, it says, he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. See, he gives us his robe of righteousness. He clothes us with that right standing before the Father because of what he did on the cross. So likewise, I believe whoever spreads the good news of God's loving kingdom out to other souls is considered wise in the sight of the Father. We're considered wise at that point. Proverbs 11:30 is clear. The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls. What an amazing proverb that is, to be able to see it's our choice. And look at Matthew 28:19. It's one we're all pretty familiar with. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. When I read or see or hear this verse, when someone mentions the word evangelism, to me, this verse is what comes to mind. This is the first one that I think of and consider when I ever hear the word evangelism. And along with the other two, the companion verses, one in Mark 16:15 that says, and he said to them, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. To every creature. And in Luke 24:47 it says, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. So those three verses there, they're that calling for all of us in the body of Christ to be able to be that direct call to go out and share the gospel news about Christ to the world. This command isn't subtle or vague. It's rather Jesus explicitly tells his disciples, which includes all of us that follow him, to go and tell others that God loves them. First he says, come to me. Then he says, go to them. It says, simple. Therefore, we are called to evangelize individuals as well as nations for the kingdom of God. That's a calling for every believer on earth. And as I mentioned the book of Acts and going through there, there's many in here that I want to really look at here. As Acts 1:8, of course. But you shall receive power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and into all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. See, these words were spoken from Jesus right before he ascended to heaven. It's kind of like, you know, a deathbed confession. He wasn't dying, but he was departing. You know, some things people say just before they die, you know, it's usually what's really the bottom line of their life, the bottom line of what they want to communicate, the most important thing, that little gem that they have to depart to those that are around them. And so as Jesus is just about to depart for the kingdom of God, this was his statement. Shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and to shall be my witnesses. See, we don't have to do it. The Holy Spirit within us does it. It says in Thessalonians that he who calls us will enable us, or he will bring it to pass, or he will do it in the different translations that we have. So these words were spoken right before he went. He wanted all of humanity to receive the power of the Holy Spirit and to simply be his witnesses everywhere they went. Everywhere. They would begin sharing the good news at home and then take it around the world, as we saw it happen that way. Thankfully, that's why we're here. Jesus spoke these words about all of his disciples and all of us. But then we have to look at Peter. Peter is often described as one of the great examples of an evangelist. Because on the day of Pentecost, shortly after Jesus' earthly departure, what happens? Peter stands up in Jerusalem and is instrumental in leading over 3,000 people to the Lord in one day. The Holy Spirit was moving. The next verse, Acts 2:38. As we'll see it here in a minute. 2:32. I got a wrong scripture up there, sorry. It's actually 2:38. I'll just read it to you, I'm sorry. Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Repent, and you will receive the remission of sins. Then you will receive that gift of the Holy Spirit in that way. Simply put, this is the gospel message. This is the gospel message that we should share with our words and our lives in that way. Now we'll try to get to the right one. Acts 8:12 says, "But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized." So here's another exciting evangelist in the book of Acts, Philip. And as we went through, we saw Philip being transported over and witnessed to the eunuch and all the things that he'd done. But Philip, remember, he was one of the seven deacons chosen for his servant's heart to minister to the needy there in Jerusalem. And he went on to be used mightily by the Holy Spirit to spread the good news about Jesus Christ. So he was a deacon, he was a servant, he went on to be an evangelist, and then we also saw where he raised daughters that were prophetesses. So he was a godly father as well. We see how well-rounded his life was in the calling that he received and accepted from Jesus. Because of his faithfulness to his calling of evangelism, Philip led many, many to the kingdom of God. And then the next one that we see is in Acts 22:15. It says, "For you will be his witnesses to all men of what you have seen and heard." What have we seen and heard? We've seen God do work in our own life, if nothing else. You've seen that Jesus was able to take you from death to life. Because it says we were dead in our trespasses and sins, but we've been made alive together with him in Christ Jesus. So we've seen mighty things. If nothing else, if you're here and you're born again, you've been resurrected from the dead. So you've seen that. You've heard the good news. You've heard that when you repent, you receive the remission of sins. You've heard that you have the Holy Spirit within you. You've seen the Holy Spirit doing things in and through you. And at this verse here, Paul was sharing his own conversion. He was giving his testimony here. And that's what we can do so easily, is give our testimony as he presents the gospel to a group of agitated Jews during his final visit to Jerusalem. We just covered that not too many weeks ago as we concluded Acts. But we saw Paul was very bold in sharing the good news of Jesus everywhere he went. And you think, well, of course, he was Paul. Well, the Holy Spirit that did it through Paul is the same Holy Spirit in each of us. See, but in this instance, he's chose to use his own testimony of faith. He explains how the Lord called him on the road to Damascus, told him that he would be a witness and an evangelist to everyone that he would meet during the rest of his life. And he did that. Oftentimes, I believe one of the best ways to share our faith is also just simply giving our testimony of salvation. You know what? I was involved in this, and man, God reached down to that dark pit and brought me out of it. Saved me and sanctified me and set me free. Man, what a testimony that is. And what is, you know, people are looking for an answer today. They've got a lot of questions. People are starting to question, well, who is God? What about evolution? What about creation? What about this and what about that? And all of the, they've got a lot of questions today. And we have the answers, and we just need to present the answers to them in a way that they can relate to. See, because just like Paul, our lives are an open book for everyone to read. And this is especially true when our lives come and are able to point back to the Lord. Then it says also in 1 Timothy 4:5, I don't think I have a slide for this one, it says, "For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer." See, Paul was talking to Timothy. Paul mentored many young Christians during his time in ministry, and one of them, I believe, you know, was Timothy, of course, and he mentored Timothy, and he brought Timothy to that place of coming to know him and working with him in a way. And so we see him telling here that it's sanctified by the word of God in prayer. And he says before that, to receive all gifts and all things as a gift from God. Receive things from him. And so as you receive even your calling to even tell people about the gospel, to receive it with the word, allow the word of God to lead, and then pray. Pray and ask the Lord what he would have for you to do and how he would have you to do it. And so, you know, he's exhorting this young disciple to press into the Lord, to fulfill his calling as an evangelist, fulfill his calling as a young pastor. Paul knew that Timothy had a special calling. He had a special calling of God to share the good news of the gospel. And he encourages him to live up to his potential. See, I love this verse because I feel that it is also a call to all of us today. All of us that have called upon the name of Jesus as our Lord, as our Savior, and who profess to be Christians. Likewise, I believe we need to be sober-minded, clear-minded, having a clear focus, ready to endure persecution and suffering. Why? For the sake of the gospel. Not for we're Christians, they're persecuting us just because I say I'm a Christian. No. You know, we can act weird. The Bible's not calling us to act weird and be strange about it. Be sober-minded. Be careful and caring and loving. Ready to endure the suffering, though, if it comes for the sake of the gospel. Fulfill whatever ministry God has called us to do while we're here on this earth. Whether it's preaching the gospel from the rooftop somewhere using that net, or living a quiet life of humility and service. We're called to be evangelists everywhere we go. That's our calling. That's what God has set aside for us today. And we need to fulfill that. So ultimately, all Christians are called to be evangelists and to spread the good news of Jesus to all people. See, we cannot be afraid or embarrassed of that call. But rather, we should embrace what the Apostle Paul said. And this was like the final confirmation for me a couple of weeks ago when we were in chapter 1 of Romans, verse 16, where Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, but also to the Greeks." Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." And we shouldn't be either. One way we can share is by preaching and teaching about Jesus in the streets or in our homes or everyone we come in contact with. Another way is to simply live our lives as a light, as an example of Christian to those around us. See, God is love. God is love, and we should mirror and reflect that love to everyone through our words and our lives and our actions. And so if we want to tell the world about the good news of Jesus, our Lord, let us begin. First, we got to live that life filled with the fruit of the Spirit. And this is what would show the people around us that what God is like. And true evangelism will overflow from that life. Now, a lot of times we just, like I said in the beginning, a lot of times we're fearful. We're scared. We don't know how to share the gospel. We don't know. We don't have the answers a lot of times. So I believe the Lord has provided something for us today that will help us to be able just to invite people and then show them a place where they can go to find some answers. And I want to show a little a clip here, a little video, and then I'm going to have Dave come up and share about this website called truelife.org and how you can use it just to share with people lightly. And so this first video shows some new technology that will help us to do that.
Yeah. Before Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, he told the church to make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that he had commanded them. The early church boldly communicated God's love, and scribes meticulously copied the biblical text by hand. But it was only after Johannes Gutenberg invented the printing press in 1436 that the Bible could be mass-produced. Gutenberg's printing press made the Bible widely available, fueling the Reformation started by Martin Luther in 1517 and bringing hope that the Great Commission could be fulfilled. Over 300 years later, Thomas Edison used a new media format when he produced the first religious film, The Passion Play, in 1898. On Christmas Eve in 1906, the first Christian radio broadcast was transmitted from Brant Rock, Massachusetts, as Reginald Fessenden broadcast a biblical account of Christ's birth. A short time later, charismatic and powerful orators such as Billy Sunday and Billy Graham used the radio effectively to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Television was first used to spread the gospel in 1950 when Billy Graham's crusade was nationally televised on ABC with great success. This ushered in a new era of television preachers, including Jerry Falwell's weekly old-time gospel hour beginning in 1956. During this time, very few people knew about the work of John Backus, who had become the first to successfully create a computer programming language for widespread use. From his early work and those that followed, the computer quickly gained popularity and has now become a way of life for people all across the world. And finally, in an event to rival Gutenberg's invention of the printing press, the internet was created, connecting everyone to everything. Its wealth of information is carried through print, audio, video, and personal networking. Never in the history of mankind has such a powerful tool existed to fulfill the Great Commission. As the printing press, radio, and television effectively opened doors for the gospel presentation, the internet has now become the most capable media as it combines accessibility and personal networking. But it's highly unfortunate that the most popular religious website is not Christian but Mormon, and they're using the internet to grow their religion exponentially. Many other faiths and philosophies are also successfully interacting with their audience online. But Christians have yet to build a website that unifies a church under the Bible and draws a seeker into a local evangelical community. Until now.
I love application time. And this is what this is about, an application. You heard the pastor speak about evangelism and how important it is for all of us to share what we believe, what we saw the Lord do in our lives. And again, you probably had questions. You're like, what should I do? How do I go about doing this? Maybe I know enough, maybe I don't. But this is the part that's important. It's an application from the Lord to help us. Before I get into the founder, well, actually, let me go into the founder right now. He started this, and I'm going to go into who this man is. His name is Jesse Connors. He's the founder of TrueLife.org. He's been married for about a year and a half or so, and he received the Lord at 6 years old, and I had a conversation with him on the phone several times. He's really out there and bold for the Lord in evangelism. He received his bachelor's degree in science, communication, management, marketing, and an emphasis on that from Liberty University. He worked with Dr. Jerry Falwell as a spokesman for Liberty University. And later on, you can look at all of this on the website. I'm just going through it really quick. He received his Master's of Divinity in the Christian Apologetics and Biblical Counseling. I'm sorry, Biblical Languages. He also worked in the White House during the George Bush administration. He worked for the Senate and Fox News, just to give you a little bit of background on him. But before we go any further, I want to show you how the application is. It's basically this card, which you will be receiving later on. I'm going to show you how to utilize this. Two options, or you have two things right here. You have our church in the front, and in the back is the truelife.org, where they can go to find video answers to life's difficult questions. And it's not only for people that go out there and we give this to them, it's for us. It educates us as well. And some of the people on there is Kent Ham, Answers in Genesis. He endorses this website, and also Josh McDowell. He's a Christian apologetics person, if you don't know him. But I want to show you how easy actually it is to actually go out there of all ages to take part of evangelizing. Whether you know a little or a lot, this is a big help. So here's the first video I want to show you.
Okay, I'm Graham Yurka. I'm 13 years old, and last week my granddad and I passed out 11 TrueLife.org cards.
Wow. So this church just did True Life this past week, right?
Yes, sir.
Cool. And did it go well?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Why do you like it so much?
It's easier to do it just with somebody you don't know.
Yeah.
Hey, my name is Will Anderson. I'm worship leader here at Hibernia Baptist Church, and TrueLife.org has been a huge blessing to this church.
What did the pastor say about it?
Same thing you've been saying. It's like really easy. It takes the awkwardness out of it. You know, you have that. You have the invitation, but then you have that the backup on the back. You know, hey,
right.
Even if you can't come, you know, or if you're not interested, we'll
right.
Just go to the website. You know.
Awesome, dude. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
God bless you.
And the first one I showed is some younger guys going out there, passing it out. Now, usually at their age, they're not, you know, they're into the doctrines or anything so much. They may know the basics of salvation, but they were able to give out a card and point people in the right direction. In the back, again, you will see where you can get answers on abortion, the Bible, Christianity, the Da Vinci Code, evolution, like the pastor was saying, the Trinity, truth, salvation, who is Jesus, depression, evil. All of these answers by Bible-believing Christians who hold PhDs, who are in apologetics and know what they're talking about, just like I told you about these, Kent Ham and Josh McDowell. But again, these are young guys who went out there and they just pass out cards. Like to invite you to our church. Oh, if they say no, thank you. Well, here, I'd like you to take a look at the website if you have any answers about life. I'm sorry, questions about, you should put that on. Questions about life's difficult answers, even why are we here? Why was I born? What's the meaning of life? And today it's a information age. People, like the pastor said, are confused. Everyone truly is looking for answers. I come across people, or the Lord leads me to people, and they have difficult questions. Why is there suffering? Why does God allow suffering? If there's a God, what is this about? Why is there so much confusion in the world? No one could trust anyone anymore. But this is such a blessing, because if you don't have the answers, the Lord has provided a way to do it. It's our testimony. You know, a lot of evangelists and Christian apologetics, when they go outside and they talk to people, the thing that changes hearts, like the pastor said, is the gospel. It truly is. You could say, I don't know. But hey, the Lord changed my life. He can change yours. Take this card and go look in the back and come to our church. It could be as simple as that. And I want to show you another video of a person going out, a different age as well. We can at times make excuses in our lives and we don't realize it, or we don't know, or we're thinking, what can I do? I'm either too young or too old. But is that factual? If this works. There we go.
My name is Jim Evans. I'm a member of Briar Hill Baptist Church in Florence, Mississippi. do pick up these cards to do with truelife.org, the great website. It tells you all the information you need to know. If you need correction, it's there. If you need to know the truth, it's there. Get it and be blessed.
How do you use the card?
Do you want to show
your church? There's your church right there.
Ryerville Baptist Church.
Yep, and how do you use it?
How do I use it? I pass it out to people, encouraging them to watch this site and encouraging them also to come to Briarhill Baptist Church.
That's good. Well, thank you so much, brother. And how old are you?
86.
86. Bring it home, brother. That's right. You're doing it. I'm so proud of you. Keep it up. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Praise the Lord. As long as we're on this earth, the Lord can use us. We're not with Him. We're here so we can tell people about Christ and what He did for us. You saw that young kids, you know, they were going out, they were passing it out, and they were giving answers, not physically, but they led people to truth. This was he 85 years old. He's still doing it. He's doing it what was he?
86.
Jesse, the guy who you hear, that's the founder. He's going around. Jesse's saying, praise the Lord, bring it home, brother. That's true. This is all to create in us evangelistic spirit, to go out there and realize that we can do it, that it's not as difficult as we think, and we never know what the Lord can do with this, because one waters, one plants, God gives the increase. This is all a seed for the Lord. And of course, I'm not done yet. I got another video for you guys. I want you guys to see this in action. What could happen when you're out there? And the guy you're going to see in the blue shirt, he's the founder.
Katrina, it's your turn.
Oh, yes.
We're going to have some fun.
Yes.
You ready to do this?
Yes. I'm a bit nervous, though.
You are? Yeah, I'm a little nervous for you, too. I know you're going to do well, though.
Because I've never done this before. I always wanted to, but I'm nervous, but
well,
I'm going to do it.
I'm praying for you, sister. I know you're going to do fine. Here we are. This is good. Hey, you want to talk? You can talk to her.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Yeah, this is, I would love to come, you to come to my church next week.
I don't go to your church. You don't go to church. You know, you can go online, too, if you want to do, you know.
I'm a Baptist.
Yeah, okay. God bless you. So what you do is you keep going. Okay?
Yeah.
And someone else will take the card.
Yeah.
Since she didn't want to.
Mm-hmm. Do you go to church?
Sometimes.
Oh, great. That's good. So I would love to see you. I mean, come over to my church next week. And you're not ready, you can always go onto this website, like truelife.org. And there are some free video answers.
Okay.
But there are a lot of questions we have sometimes. And there are a lot of videos explaining those questions. And you can always go and check those videos and have the answers.
Okay.
Yeah. It's nice meeting you. Have a great day. God
bless. You too.
Yeah.
All right, let me stop it. Turn it off, please, because I have problems with this. Now, you saw she was really nervous when she went out there, and you saw how people can just say, no, I don't want this, you know. For whatever reason, they might misunderstand you, or they're just not into church. And that happens, that's part of it, but that also is a blessing as well. Peter, and I believe it was James, when they were taken to the Sanhedrin, they said, thank you, Lord, for consider us worthy to be, in essence, beaten for your sake. Now, it doesn't have to be that extreme, but that was a blessing to them. And being rejected again is still a blessing, because you're going out there and the Lord sees your heart and what you do. Now, it seems difficult, and can it be difficult? When you look at me, you guys know me, do I seem like I would be nervous to talk to anyone? Does it seem like I have nothing to say? Or I would approach someone and be like, oh, I can't say that. If anyone believes that I am shy, raise your hand. All right, that's one person right there. You always have to have the heckler. Now, is it possible for me to be shy going out there? Yeah, when was it? Friday, took about 50 cards. So I said, let me pass these things out. I've spoken to people before, but what happened when I first try? We forget that there's still spiritual warfare. We go out there, I went out there, I had the cards, and went to a lot of stores, so I'm walking, I'm like, okay, let me give this to someone. Man, what if they reject me? What if they get upset? I'm in this store shopping. I don't know, this may be more difficult than I thought. Well, maybe this person, maybe that person. Lord's like, what are you doing? You don't know what's going on? It can really be difficult because you're out of your comfort zone. And that's the way it should be. We shouldn't be comfortable in Christ as Christians. In the sense whereby, yes, we're comfortable with who he is, but we should be comfortable in his spirit and bold at the same time to say, if this doesn't make me feel right to preach the gospel, I need to do it. I'm on the right path. Because, of course, I shouldn't be listening to my flesh. We know the Bible says that the heart is deceitful. Oh, no, I shouldn't be talking to this guy because what if they slap me or whatever? Well, you never know what could happen. They can hug you. They can take it from you. But the first instinct in us will be that spiritual battle of saying, I can't do this. You know, we're so disconnected sometimes and the fear comes in. And Satan comes in and says, don't do that. What are you doing? That person's going to get upset. You're going to get kicked out of the store. Are you? No, you're not. So I said, this is ridiculous. I'd like to give you this card. People look at it. I said, I'd like to, this is what I did. And I was like, hey guys, I'd like to just offer you this card as an invitation to my church. And I live in Las Vegas. I said, I know it's in Henderson, but you know, if it's too far for you, look at the back. There are some answers to life's most difficult questions. Whatever you may have, here's this question, here's that. And again, I'd like to invite you to our church. They receive it. A couple of people that I gave it to, they were like, oh, that's interesting. We're looking for a church. And I said, oh, I praise the Lord. If there's any questions I can ask for you, right, answer you right now, I'm right here. So they asked a couple of questions. They asked about the website. And hopefully they're looking at that. I gave it to young, old. Of course, there was one lady who said, no, I don't want it. And that's okay. That's nothing, you know. She didn't hit me. She didn't spit on me. And if she did, hey, praise the Lord, I did what I had to do, you know. But I gave out around 50 cards, you know, and I was checking out. You could give it to them. You're paying your money. You feel like that. Hey, I'm giving you money. Take this card, you know. In the way the Lord leads you, as you're shopping around, it's so easy to get into conversation. You're looking for clothes. Person bumps into you or whatever and say, what do you think about that? Oh, by the way, I want to invite you to my church. And if you have any questions about the Bible or life or you're confused about what the meaning is, take a look at the back of this card and go online. Now, when you go online, you'll also see our church on there. You put the zip code in and you'll see it. So it's a lot of information on here, and it helps you and equips you to answer life's difficult questions to people. But that's how mine went. Some accepted it. Some didn't. A lot of people were like, oh, wow, this is really nice. One guy even said, oh, yeah, I go to this website all the time. I didn't know. I was like, oh, that's a blessing. This was in Vegas. I was in Las Vegas doing this. On like Eastern and Flamingo area, going to different places, and you can pass out these cards quick. Will you see them on the floor? Maybe, but it doesn't matter because it's a seat on the floor that someone's heart might be broken and they're crying out to the Lord and they just pick up this and they say, whoa, a card. It happens. It happens a lot. Every way you can do, just give out a card. It's not difficult. You don't have to have all the answers. People can ask you tough questions, but you say, here are the answers. And for your own information, again, go back to the website. There's a lot of good stuff on there. And do you think it can make a difference? Can the Lord use you? Is this something that's possible? Well, of course, because the Holy Spirit leads. And you never know what could happen with just one card. I'm going to give you an example right now. You never know. This is one from our hometown.
I'm Johnny Nance, and I'm the pastor of Spring Valley Baptist Church in Las Vegas, Nevada. We've been participating in TrueLife.org since 2011. We found that it's an easy way for our people to share the Lord Jesus Christ, especially those who have difficulty doing that. They give the cards out at the grocery store and to their friends and neighbors, and then they come back to church and tell us how the people received them. In fact, last night on the airplane, my wife shared a TrueLife.org card with the lady that she was sitting next to.
I'm Marjorie Nance, and I'm also from Las Vegas, Spring Valley Baptist Church. And last night, just from Phoenix, getting on the airplane at 6 o'clock, I sat down next to a young lady of 28 years old, and she wanted to know what a Baptist convention was, and I explained it to her. And then I also told her I had a life-changing experience in my life, and I wondered if she had one, and I told her the ABCs of salvation. And then she said, I've never heard of this before, but she did pray the prayer to accept Christ into her heart, and I handed her a TrueLife.org card to say if she had more questions, she could go to this website and ask them. And I think it's really exciting.
So, I'm going to be done soon, but you never know what could happen and how you change a life. You're planting seeds. You don't have all the answers. That's okay. The Lord's equipped so many people, and you get more answers as you go to this website. So, I'm sorry. Ushers and brothers, if you can come down. The last thing I want to do, unless you want to talk about this, I can get down because we're running out of time. part of this is I want to give all of you five cards. And as the Lord leads you, throughout your day, you just pass them out, ask the Lord, you talk to him about the church, you talk to them, of course, also about True Life, and go on that and see what the Lord does. Now, what's the other part of this? Next week, I'm going to ask, or the pastor is going to ask, how many of you gave them out? All you got to do is raise your hand. We're not going to put you up there or anything like that. And it may be difficult in the beginning, but don't give up, because this is a blessing to you and the Lord. And I'm telling you, as I started doing it, it was easier, and I started feeling blessed just by giving out cards. You become more bold in the Spirit, and the Lord will lift up your spirit to do this, because that's what it's about. Let's not just be hearers of the words, but doer of the word by spreading the gospel. Amen.
Thank you, Dave. And, you know, it's about salvation. It's about winning souls, and I have a burden to see people come to know the Lord, or to know there are people out there getting offered the opportunity. It's not up to us to bring them to the Lord. It's not up to us to what the results of these are. It's just up to us to be obedient to hand it to them and let the Lord, the Holy Spirit, and it's not about, you know, building this into any kind of a huge place of any kind or not so ever, but I would like to see salvation come to people. That's on my heart for this year especially. But, you know, Dave shared a couple personal stories. I was in an auto parts store last week, and I was on my bike, and so I had my vest on for Bikers of Christ. And it talks about, you know, on there it says motorcycle ministry. And the girl that was checking me out says, "Oh, are you over on Boulder Highway there?" And she thought she was talking about Boulder Choppers. And I said, "Well, no, I know I'm over there," but I said, "Actually, I'm at a church on Lake Mead Parkway called Calvary Chapel of Henderson, and here's a card for it, and there's a lot of good web videos on this website. Check it out. See what you think about it. You know, that if you have any questions about the Bible or God or anything, just check it out." She took it, received it. I don't know what she'd do with it, but God does. And so, you know, like Dave said, next week we're going to ask you if you handed out any, you know, whatever. We've got a lot more of these, too. Don't feel like you have to stop at five. And so whatever the Lord puts on your heart, let him direct you and guide you. And I just, you know, it's just something that the Lord, I believe, I know God has put this on our hearts for the ministry this year. And just to be able to really be a part of building the kingdom of God overall. And so let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time.